If you're at all like me and don't especially like eating a bunch of chemicals, then ButcherBox is just what you're looking for. When you get a ButcherBox membership, you'll have the peace of mind that you're getting high-quality meat, seafood, and poultry that you can trust. With 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood, ButcherBox wants you to eat healthier than you ever have before. More importantly, there's no antibiotics or hormones in their meat, which might not always be the case at one of those big box stores. Another huge bonus with ButcherBox? They conveniently deliver directly to your doorstep. Save yourself the hassle of driving to the supermarket, or even putting on pants for that matter. And ButcherBox's prices are competitive, or even lower than what you'll find at your grocery store. ButcherBox also has a slew of delicious recipes and other cooking tips to help add a little pizzazz to your meals. At our house, we've tried a bunch of different meals, and they've been a huge hit every time. They're really good. And right now, just for our listeners, ButcherBox is offering ground beef for life with a new membership, plus an additional 20% off your first order. Use the link butcherbox.com/lisk and use the code LISK to get free ground beef for life, plus 20% off your first box. Again, that's butcherbox.com/LISK, L-I-S-K, and use code LISK.
Step into the hidden corridors of the past with Hometown History, where every episode uncovers the untold stories and secrets nestled in the streets and alleys of our own backyards. We bring history to life, revealing the extraordinary in the ordinary, from local legends to forgotten tales that shape the communities we know today. Tune into Hometown History and embark on a journey through time, right from where you are.
Welcome to a bonus episode of Lisk, Long Island Serial Killer. There are many questions surrounding the Lisk case, but perhaps one of the biggest mysteries, outside of naming the killer or killers, involves Suffolk County. Why hasn't this case been solved? How could these crimes have happened? What or who might be standing between justice and the victims? Here to lend some insight and give some context is Long Island talk radio personality and politico Frank McKay. He recently went on the record with our senior producer Shannon McGarvey to discuss Suffolk County corruption, suspect theories, and offer invaluable first-hand insight into some high-profile key persons of interest in this case.
Oh, I'm Frank McKay. I'm the host of Breaking It Down and a couple of other shows, but we've been doing a series, our second series, on Lisk, Long Island serial killing. For the most part, we started doing the series again because we felt like we could attain something or we could pressure something. We're very tied into the political system here, and I've been the state chair of the Independence Party for many years. Last year, we lost ballot status. And in a way, it gave me an opportunity to speak more freely about certain things and not worrying about who's offended or even for that matter, who it affects. And this year, there are two individuals that we kind of targeted with our series. One is Steve Ballone. He's the county executive of Suffolk County, somebody I know very well, and I've known for years. And the other one is Tim Sinney, who's currently up for re-election this year. He's the DA. Both of them are involved with the cover-up or the non-investigation of Lisk, the Long Island serial killing. So one thing that we say all the time, and I say all the time on air, is that we don't know, and I don't know, who committed the murders, but we do know for sure who covered it up. And it's Steve Ballone, the county executive, and the man he appointed, and he alone appointed Jimmy Burke, the police chief, former police chief. And those two men made sure that they cleared out the FBI. And that's not conjecture on my end. Jerry Hart, who was the lead agent at the time for the FBI, and had said that Jimmy Burke had asked the FBI to leave. And our hope was not to shame either Sinney or blown into doing things. We knew that was impossible. They're shameless politicians. But we did hope that we'd put political pressure on them. And they are the two people who have to answer questions. Blone as a potential gubernatorial candidate, and Tim Sinney, who's running for re-election.
For people who don't have the history with Ballone and Senny. Can you just briefly talk about why they would be motivated to cover up the Long Island serial killings?
In 2011, Steve Ballone ran for county executive. I endorsed him and proudly endorsed him. We thought he was clean and we hoped that he would do good things for the county. Just prior to 2011, after a successful run by Steve Ballone, Jimmy Burks called for the retirement of both Dormer, the late Chief Richard Dormer, and Dominic Verone, who was the chief detective, chief of the investigation, who worked with the FBI. When I spoke to both men, they both said they were ready to be debriefed. And they were asked no question whatsoever about the killing. They were just asked to retire. And if they did not retire by, I think it was December 31st, 2011, right before Ballone took office, they would be busted down to captain. And that would be a financial hit on them, on their pension and so forth. But so both of them immediately acquiesced and they retired. They took it like champs and they just figured it's new guy coming in, Jimmy Burke's show at this point. Then they got out. The fact they weren't asked any questions is disturbing. I mean, you would think that someone somewhere in that new administration would want to know what's going on with a serial killer. Having said that, a couple years later, a mutual friend of mine in Ballone came to me and said, why are you talking about serial killing? You know, what do you have, a morbid personality? And I was surprised that this friend of mine was saying it. And he said, you know, Steve's pissed off. Why would he be angry with me? And he said, well, because you're asking about the question. Now, keep in mind, I had a syndicated radio show on CBS and I had a syndicated TV show on NBC Nonstop. And I never talked about the serial killing or celebrity talk. I never even mentioned it. So this is just in private conversation. I was asking people, why is he mad that anybody's asking questions about this? By the way, I asked Jimmy Burke. I asked Tom Spoda. And I got, you know, from Burke, I basically got, oh, we'll get those bastards, Frankie. We'll get, you know, we'll get them. And Spoda was more like, oh, listen, just don't believe what everything you read on the internet about this one and whatever. But Ballone's reaction was very strange. One other point I want to make is the only investigation that I see that the Suffolk County Police, and I'm not criticizing them, it came from the top, it came from Jimmy, and it came from Ballone for there to be no investigation until we saw the ridiculous belt. When a belt was held up by Jerry Hart, I felt terrible for her. She was the commissioner at the time, and I'm sure she was humiliated holding up a belt. And again, a belt that they believe, according to Cinny, right, they believe the murderer had handled, and they're going to ask Joe Public, they're going to ask Joan Public who this belt belongs to. And when somebody responded back and said, I know whose belt it was, in the case of Guy Malone, feeling that it was Heather Malone's, a close personal friend and relation with Jimmy Burke, he never got a phone call.
You said Guy never got a phone call.
Yeah, Guy never got a phone call back.
And how did you get to know Guy?
I'm not sure how he originally came about, but 4 years ago when we did our first list series, Guy was one of our guests. I think he's terrific. I think he's meticulous on how he went through everything. For those who don't know, his wife ended up in an affair with Jimmy Burke in a long-term relationship, 13 years or something along those lines. Heather Malone and Jimmy Burke ran a prostitution ring together. And I don't mean maybe they ran a prostitution ring together. They ran a prostitution ring together based on a pager that once belonged to Loretta Rickenbacker, who was a former girlfriend of Jimmy Burke while he was a cop. And that same pager that he took from Loretta went to Heather Malone. And you could see the phone records from Guy. It's unbelievable.
It's just crazy. You can't make this stuff up. I feel so bad for Guy Malone. I mean, I've heard his story umpteen times. I spoke to him not too long ago. And I mean, between Heather and Burke, I mean, they really just blew up this guy's life.
Yeah, no question about it. Guy Malone, a quality guy. And I've known him for 4 years. He basically has no agenda. He wants the truth to get out. He has no financial stake in this. It's not like he has a lawsuit against the county. But the amazing thing is that in 2012, Steve Ballone proudly appointed Jimmy Burke to be in charge of the department, the Suffolk County Police Department, which is one of the largest in the nation, largest non-city or suburban police departments in the nation. And Jimmy Burke was in charge of it, even though he had run a prostitution ring while he was a cop and has, from all accounts, 2,000 pages on his internal affairs report. Ballone ignored all of that and put him in there. And clearly, to me, it looks as though they were covering tracks. And again, I'm not saying Ballone is in on the murders, but I say this all the time. It's not one killer. It's more than one killer. And we do know who covered it up. And there's no question. Ballone and Burke collectively covered this up with other people, but it's those two mainly. And by the way, I've been saying this since 2013. I have mutual friends with all of them, including Spoda. People have come up to me over the years, cops and other folks that are close to Jimmy and close to Ballone or close to Spoda. And they've said to me, would you stop? And for the last 12 weeks, I've been challenging them to come on, to say anything, to sue me, to do whatever. And not a single person in all of these years has ever come up to me and said, Frank, there's no cover-up. They've just said, would you stop? And by the way, I'll give you something. Everything I've been getting over the last couple of days is that Cine is getting close to making an arrest in this case, in Lisk. And I'm sure it'll be ridiculous. And I'm sure it won't be the initials HM or WH. But I truly believe that he's pressured and he's feeling the pressure from my show and others that are pushing this. His numbers are terrible in the toilet, and he's up for re-election this year. And I think he feels, from everything I'm hearing, that he needs an arrest in this case to get re-election. So we're thinking the middle of October, and he'll come up with something. They've backed themselves in the corner a little bit because now it's got to be HM or WH or whatever. I think they'll bypass that. I hope we're pressuring them into doing something. That was the whole purpose of doing the series.
I was just thinking as you were talking that if they do make an arrest, that means either they've been sitting on a suspect and haven't done anything, or they're going to make some flippant attempt to just pin it on someone. So either way, it's insulting because this should have been done a long time ago.
And, you know, some people have mentioned Bitroff. If Bitroff was Lisk, he would have been locked up on this a long time ago. There's just no way that Lisk is John Bitroff. And I don't even know that John Bitroff killed anybody, to be honest with you. And he might get out on appeal. And I don't know the guy from a hole in the wall. But what I'm telling you is that if anybody at all that's not connected to this crew was guilty, it would have been a no-brainer. By the way, Jimmy Bissett, the owner of the aquarium and, you know, kind of a player around, I said, if it's Bissett, it's not Bissett alone. It's Bissett plus somebody who's close to Spoda, someone who's close to Steve, someone who's close to Jimmy Burke. But certainly it's not Jimmy Bissett alone, because if it was, Spoda would just pull a grand jury report and just say, it's Jimmy Bissett. You know, I got him. I'm a hero. This is solved. We've solved the serial killing. Of course, that never happened because they couldn't pin it on Jimmy Bissett alone. Mind you, I'm not saying it's not Jimmy Bissett, but it's certainly not Jimmy Bissett alone, because it would have been very easy to pull a grand jury report against a dead man. A man who committed suicide would have been a no-brainer. And the reason I found out afterwards, the reason why Jimmy Bissett wasn't used as the fall guy, Ballone tried it, he floated it, and I know that because mutual friends of mine and Ballone said it to me directly. You know, I said, well, who does Steve think is Lisk? And he said, Jimmy Bissett. But here's the reason they couldn't pin it on Bissett alone, is because Bissett has relatives who care about him, and they care about the legacy of Bissett. I've met Jimmy Bissett 3 times in my life. I don't know Jimmy Bissett well at all, and I certainly don't know his relatives. But one is a lawyer, and a very competent lawyer from what I understand. And that attorney who's related to him had reached out to first the sheriff's office and complained about a post that a that a corrections officer had put up just on his own time on and whatever, and saying that Jimmy Bissett was the killer, and went off saying basically, you're going to try to do this, we're going to sue, you're not going to be able to get off easy and whatever. The next phone call she made was Tom Spoda, and she talked to, from what I understand, Tom Spoda directly. I could almost assure you the conversation went, hey, if you're going to try to pin this on my relative, Jimmy Bissett, I'm going to open up the phone. I'm going to see who he was talking to, who he was texting to. And obviously that was Burke, and it was, you know, other people in the department, you know, folks that are involved with these quote unquote sex parties, Ballone, you know, all kinds of people out would have been there. But the Bissett family was not going to take it sitting down. Therefore, Boda panicked and came out and said no Bissett. He cleared Bissett in that particular case. So it thwarted the efforts of Ballone to try to get everybody off the hook, including his own police chief and his best friend growing up, Strickler.
You may have heard that Shopify has been helping millions of people sell their products online. But did you know that Shopify is helping stores around the world sell in person too? Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. It's easier than ever to do everything from accepting payments to managing inventory. So when customers search for that thing they want, it's there. Shopify has everything you need to sell to your customers in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse partner that can track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. It's easier than ever to connect with customers online and in line, too. Shopify helps drive sales with their intuitive plug-and-play tools to get the word out on TikTok, Instagram, and pretty much any other social platform. Shopify has the hardware that'll fit your business. Take payments by phone, turn your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device to alleviate all those sales headaches. And if you ever run into problems, Shopify's award-winning support team is there to smooth things out. Do retail right with Shopify. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/lisk. That's L-I-S-K, all lowercase. Again, go to shopify.com/lisk to take your retail business to the next level today. One last time, go to shopify.com/lisk.
Gather round, friend, and join me by the fire. I have a secret to share. When I was a child, I lived with my grandma. She allowed me to watch Unsolved Mysteries. Fast forward to 2008, my freshman year of college. A series of armed robberies on campus escalated into a serial rapist's reign of terror. That's when I created my first crime podcast. In January 2014, I picked up the podcast again from my college roommate who fell for an underage girl online to the chilling story of a murdered nun in 1969 Baltimore. And in the Throwaway series, I share my own journey of overcoming homelessness and how that experience led me to unmask a serial killer and identify three of his Jane Doe victims. This is Foul Play Crime Series, where the stories are real and the truth is waiting to be discovered.
Do you find yourself captivated by the inexplicable, entranced by enigmas, and tantalized by the unknown? We are Shane and Josh Waters, brothers who will weave you through tales that have mystified us for years. From haunted hotels to inexplicable disappearances,
our episodes offer you a panoramic view of the world's greatest mysteries, leaving no stone unturned, no clue unnoticed.
With a gripping narrative, we invite you to join us on a journey into realms of the unexplained.
We're unraveling the mysteries that have perplexed humanity for ages.
So, armchair detectives, curious minds, and seekers of the strange, it's time to put on your headphones and dim the lights.
Dive into the uncanny world of the Mystery Inc. podcast and prepare for a journey into the unknown that you'll never forget. And remember, some mysteries are better left unsolved, but not unexplored.
So, Bissett has long been a name that has been attached to this cabal theory. is there any concrete evidence that A, supports the cabal theory and also supports the fact that Bissett was a part of it? And if so, is SCPD then still involved in some sort of cover-up?
Clarify for me what the cabal theory is. I don't know what the cabal theory is.
The cabal theory of a group of powerful men involved in sex parties, deviant acts, perhaps even snuff films, that were responsible for at least the murders of the Gilgo Four, if not all the connected Lisk murders.
I'll sign up for that right now. There's no question in my mind that it's multiple killers. There's no question that the reason it's being covered up is because there are powerful people involved. These parties that involved around 58 Savannah Walk. 58 Savannah Walk is Bobby Strickloff's home. And it's also longtime home of friends of Steve Ballone. So, yes, those parties allegedly developed in and around that that home. And Strickloff and other folks had involvement. But without question, in my mind, the reason that this was covered up is because it's there's power people here. If not, it would have been solved a long time ago. And the other thing that makes it very simple to cover up is we're not talking about Marsha, Jan, and Cindy here. This is not the Brady Bunch girls being murdered. And I say this with the greatest respect because they are the loved ones. They're the children of someone. We're not getting it because they're sex workers. And sex workers are something that I know for a fact that Steve Ballone and Bobby Strickloff have no respect for. Jimmy Burke, obviously, no respect for them. I'll be honest with you. I would lean heavily towards the idea that there's snuff films going on. And I still think they're going on. And I still think there's murders going on. It's just that they've gotten smarter. And what I think they're doing is they're right on the water. I think they're going out to the Atlantic Ocean and they're dropping bodies in the Atlantic Ocean. There are people that are sex workers that go missing constantly, and we don't connect them to Gilgo because we're not finding bodies in and around Gilgo, West Gilgo, or Oak Beach anymore.
Let's go back a little bit to some Long Island updates. Obviously, Jerry Hart is not with SCPD anymore. Do you know the new commissioner? Do you know of the new commissioner?
It's Stu Cameron. And they put him in, by the way, a very nice man, you know, everything I know of him, but he's a stand-in. And they're keeping the commissioner spot open for Cine, assuming he loses this election. They expect Cine to lose. Steve Ballone's holding that spot for him. So Stu Cameron will remain chief, let's say, and Cine will take over as commissioner.
Oy vey. Okay, so right. So are you hopeful for any new updates? You spoke earlier about how Geraldine Hart, you know, you felt sorry for her having to, you know, have this press conference with this HM belt, you know, and then later also making the announcement of the identification of Jane Doe 6, Valerie Mack. What do you think of all of that? Why did it take so long?
Jerry Hart is very clean. I think she probably regretted getting involved with Ballone at all. It was a good position for her. The fact that she left to become the head of security for Hofstra University, which is a fine university, no question about it. But to go from the police commissionership to that, it's very telling. Yeah, I'm sure it was very embarrassing that she was involved with these characters. You know, you asked if I'm hopeful. I think the best thing that could happen for Lisk is that Cine loses this election. And a guy named Ray Tierney, who I just met 5 weeks ago, he's a federal prosecutor, a longtime federal prosecutor. He's everything that Tim Cine wishes he was. Tim Cine's a young man. He's 38 years old. He's got very little experience while he was over there. Ballone handpicked him to be Jimmy Burke's boss, by the way. He was the deputy county executive in charge of public safety, which meant that he was Jimmy Burke's boss for 15 months after Christopher Loeb had been beaten while in handcuffs, and Ballone nor Tim Sinney disciplined Jimmy Burke at all. In fact, Jimmy Burke did not get fired. Jimmy Burke left mutually with a very kind letter from Steve Ballone a couple days before he was arrested, basically saying that James Burke is leaving on his own and for personal reasons and whatever, and he appreciates his time with county exec. What Ballone did, and it was brilliant, what Ballone did is he went after Spoda. Spoda was in a position where he really couldn't talk. He was under federal investigation. He was about to be nailed because he was protecting Jimmy Burke, who, by the way, Spoda loved like a son, but Ballone knew that he was attacking a dead man, basically, somebody who was going to be under federal indictment. Jimmy Burke he didn't touch because Jimmy Burke has so much on Ballone, whether it's at these parties that were at Strickhoff's house, allegedly, and everything else that he had on him. Sinney became buddy-buddy with Burke while he was there. In fact, Sinney's office is very much like Spoda's office. It's just a younger version. Now, the people running the DA's office here are Spoda people or Burke people. Without question, Burke has more influence in this office than anybody else does. All his protégés are running the show.
That's insane. So let's talk about Spoda. You know, you yes. said that Spoda looked at Burke as a son. What does that say about Spoda?
You know, I was in the courtroom for the sentencing, and Spoda wouldn't look at me. I've known Spoda for years. I had a good relationship with Spoda, but yeah, he wouldn't even make eye contact with me. His wife is lovely, Mary Ellen. She gave me a big hug and a kiss, and I felt for her. I didn't even approach the daughter. She was devastated. But I have to imagine that early on with the pious situation, this is total speculation on my part, but a 14-year-old Jimmy Burke, who was prepped to testify by Tom Spoda on the murder of John Pius, maybe Spoda had him lie. And he didn't realize that Jimmy Burke was brilliant. And by the way, I'm on record saying Jimmy Burke is a brilliant man, he's criminally brilliant, but he's a brilliant man. And nobody that knows him will deny that. Spoda helped, or I should say that Burke helped as a 14-year-old. His testimony helped nail down the Pius conviction, the kids that killed or allegedly killed John Pius. And it was Jimmy Burke who helped him. Jimmy was taken under his wing after that. And you know, he walked him through everything. And Spoda mentored Burke that whole time. So the question is, Spoda should have realized very early on that Jimmy had this evil streak in him. So the question with Spoda is, was it blind love for Jimmy Burke, which it's not, I can assure you, or is it that Jimmy Burke had so much on everybody? And I believe he did. What exactly did he have on Spoda, and what would he have done? By the way, Spoda was well aware that Burke and Heather Malone were running a prostitution ring. You know, the fact that Tom Spoda would put him in that position, knowing all the shortcomings, you know, how does that reflect on Tom Spoda? Obviously, terribly. But the big question is, you know, was it some kind of loyalty, or was it just that Burke has so much on everybody?
I mean, you lay with dogs, you're going to get dirty. So he had to know at some point that it was going to come to a head. And thankfully it has. Well, I was going to ask some more questions about Burke, because it's interesting that you call him brilliant, because that's not a common narrative when people are speaking of Jim Burke. You know, they talk about Lolita, Heather, snuff films. They talk about a sexual deviant, someone who may have been, you know, had some hand even in the Pius case way back when, you know, in the Pius murder way back when. They talk about a liar. So I want you to tell me and our listeners why you think he's brilliant, because I think that adds an interesting edge to his character development.
Well, yeah, first of all, I mean, there's a difference between intelligence and, or IQ and EQ, let's say. And his IQ is it has to be off the charts if you knew Burke. And by the way, anybody that knows him, I don't mean people that are reading a couple of stories or people that have talked to people who know, but talk to somebody who really knows Burke. He is, and I'll say it again, Jimmy Burke is brilliant. And all those other things that you've said about him are true. Yeah, I mean, deviant, is sexually deviant, apparently so. Judgment is insane. His emotional stability is insane. So certainly, I would say he's a sociopath without question. But Jimmy Burke got to the top of the rung by maneuvering politically. And I got to know him pretty well in 2001. I ran a conservative primary, and I utilized Jimmy as a source to get the cops to vote. You know, they were registered in the conservative, and it was to get Spoder elected. It was to knock out a guy named Catterson. And Spoder came to me afterwards as I was as I gave Jimmy his proper credit. And Spoder said, Frankie, tell me right now, did Jimmy Burke lift an effing finger in this primary? You got to tell me, because he's walking around like he's done. And I said, Tom, absolutely. Or Tommy, whatever. Yeah, absolutely. Without question, he got the cops to vote. I said, Jimmy Burke got the cops to vote. Jimmy Burke understood my role in this whole thing. And he says, what can I do? What can I do to help or whatever? What he really meant is, what can he do to be a player? What can he do to be significant? Now, I don't have the picadillos that a lot of these people have, and I don't have the those shortcomings, you know, that people have. He looks for people with drug problems. He looks for people who can't control their sexual urges, and he collects those people. The cabal theory doesn't work without Jimmy Burke. Jimmy Burke is the engineer and the architect around the cover-up, without question. Malone, it was the power, the guy who put him there. One point I want to make, too, is that Tom Spoda did not want Jimmy Burke to be the police chief. And that's a misnomer. Anybody that tells you separately just absolutely doesn't know what they're talking about. 4 years ago is when it really hit me. When I started the List series, I called up a couple of people, including Spoda, to let them know what I was doing. And I wasn't going to stop. I wanted them to hear it from me. And he was completely angry. He said, it was a punch in the effing gut. He said, you know, I would never stand in Jimmy's way. But the way they did it, the way Ballone, Strickoff, the way they did this with Jimmy and how they kept it from me. I said, but you did not know. And he said, those mother effers, the way they did it, you know, the mother effers. And he was talking about Jimmy, Ballone, and Strickoff. Even recently, I spoke to somebody very close to Spoda, who is also close to Jimmy Burke still. And what he said, the one thing, he said, just so you know, he said, I think Steve just didn't want to share the spotlight, and that's why he kept it from Tommy. He said, I don't want you passing along information that Tommy would have tried to stop Jimmy. And I said, no, I've never said that he would try to stop him. But the truth of the matter is that people very close to Spoda, and I mean very, very close to Spoda and Burke, thought that Spoda felt that Jimmy Burke would get himself in trouble if he was ever police commissioner or police chief.
So let me ask you something. Do you think that Burke is Lisk? I mean, I know you said there was a group of men, but do you think that he's involved in these killings?
I won't say no, right? But I think it's unusual, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for the feds, for the U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI, and they had him for 46 months. And again, he's a brilliant guy. You talk to the feds, talk to people who prosecuted. Anybody that knows Burke or anybody that knows what they're talking about will tell you that this guy is a criminal genius. So I won't say no, he's not, but it's certainly not one guy. It's not one individual that did these killings. It's just, you know, there's a big set. Ballone is number one, at least alphabetically, and Strickoff is the last in the name. And two of the people in the big seven are deceased by their own hand. a suicide. And Burke, of course, is there. And when you talk about the Big Seven, it's disputed where Burke fits in. Is he a guy covering it up, or is he involved in the killing?
Next week on Lisk, Long Island Serial Killer, part two of this bonus episode with Suffolk County insider, Politico, and radio personality Frank McKay.